If I were to ask you this morning what chapter in Scripture is the great love chapter, what would you say? 1 Corinthians 13. And you would be wrong. Not really. It is the great love chapter and describes the word charity. But it's interesting, the word charity or love is only found 9 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There is a passage in the Scripture, and it may already knows what it is, where it is the word love is used 14 times, 5 more times than in 1 Corinthians. Amaya, stand up and tell us what it is. You don't have to stand up. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to turn there this morning. 1 John chapter 4. And we want to understand what the Apostle Paul says about love. Hey, good morning. Good to see you guys. I was going to come visit you yesterday. I'm glad I didn't because you wouldn't have come. Now you're here. That's great. Great to see you guys. Wonderful. 1 John chapter 4. And if you're taking notes this morning, there are 5 points. The first is God's love decreed. God's love decreed. Here's a very simple statement in 1 John. And I guess I need to find 1 John before I teach on it. Chapter 4, and it says in verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God for what? Let's say it together. God is love. Now, notice carefully, it does not say God loves. You say, what's the big deal? Who cares? If it just said God loves, there could be times he does, and there could be times he doesn't love. Now, we do know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But this statement goes far beyond that. And by the way, it's said again in verse 16, right in the middle, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. So what this verse is saying is not that God does love, but that God is love. This means that love is one of his essential attributes or characteristics. Now, there are a lot of attributes of God. You help me here. What are some of the attributes of God? What's that? He is holy. Faithful. All-knowing. Merciful. I heard omniscient. Is that what you said? Can't change. There's a nice theological word for that. Immutable. There it is. Isn't that a great word? Now, when you go home and your kids say, would you change your mind? Say, I am immutable. Well, you're really not. So, but God is. Okay. Merciful, gracious. I think we've heard some of those. Long-suffering. All of those are attributes of God. Let me ask you a question. If God ceased being holy, by the way, what does holy mean? Separate. God is totally separate from sin. He has never sinned. He will never sin. Sin cannot come into his presence. He is eternally holy. If God ceased to be holy, then he would cease to be God, because that's one of his attributes. If God ceased to be faithful, or omniscient, or omnipotent, or all of those words, if God ceased to be any of those things, he would cease to be God. Now, let me tell you this, folks. If God stops being love, then he ceases being God. Okay? Now, I want to nail this down right here at the beginning. God's word says very clearly, God is love. Now, so we see it very clearly stated. It's decreed. Secondly, if you're taking notes, God's love defined. What does it mean when it says God is love? Now, we've gone through this before. I want to do it very quickly for those who are visiting with us. But there are 3 different Greek words used in the Bible for love. There's the word eros, which is where we get the word erotic. It is a pleasure love, all about self. By the way, if you watch TV and they talk about love, more than likely, this is what they're talking about, okay? Well, I'm married, but I love her. Well, then you're disobeying God's word, okay? Okay? So it's very clear this is not the kind of love. This is all about pleasing self and pleasure. This is not God's love, obviously. There's the word phileo love. How many of you have been to Philadelphia? Did you feel loved? I'm shocked. Well, if that city lived up to its name, you would. Because this is a brotherly love. If you have a friendship with someone, this is a phileo love. And this love will do things for other people, but it's not typically as strong as God's love. And we talk about God's love, and we're using Greek words here, which means nothing to most of us, and it doesn't need to. But the final kind of love is that agape love, and that is a self-sacrificing love. When somebody sacrifices what they want to meet somebody else's need, that is the kind of love that God has. Although, to be honest with you, that's an illustration of it, but I can never fully explain the love of God. Now, I already mentioned John 3:16, but obviously in that passage, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That's the key word. He gave. That's the kind of love that God has. Now remember, God is love. Now, by the way, it wasn't that God looked down through time and said, well, there's that Gary Seaman. He is such a fine guy. I think I'm going to love him. In fact, it was the opposite, wasn't it? In spite of who I am, God loves me. Now, we're moving quickly. I'll spend most of the time on the last one. So we've seen love decreed, defined. Thirdly, described. Let's describe it with two terms. Number one, God's love, and we always use this one. This is the big one, is what? Maybe we don't use this one all the time. God's love is, it's forever. That's the second point. Perfect. Thank you, Terry. That's the one that Terry and I use. It's unconditional, okay? God's love is unconditional. Most of our love today is what? It's conditional, isn't it? I will love my wife as long as what? My wife is good to me. I will love her if she loves me, and vice versa. A woman says, I'll love my husband if he treats me right. I'll love my husband and sacrifice to meet his needs if he does the same for me. It is conditional. In fact, my wife, who's here this morning, has often joked we ought to change our wedding vows. And I think maybe when they were in college, they used to joke about this. For right now, what are there? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. I think most people have changed that, and now it's for better, for richer, in health. Right? That's right. Until I get sick of you. That is conditional love. Now, let me be honest with you. There are times in my life, or have been times, when I have viewed God's love like that. If I will obey God and try to please him, then he will love me more. How many of you ever had that thought in your heart? Okay. What's wrong with that thought? Now, God's love has become conditional. And it is dependent upon my response to him. That's not God's love. God's love is totally dependent upon him. Aren't you glad that God's love for you is not dependent on you? I mean, just think if it was. We'd all be in really bad shape. It is not conditional. It is unconditional. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll be back to 1 John after a while. Romans chapter 8 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. And it ends with such a great passage about the love of God. Romans 8:31. And he asks a bunch of questions here that all have obvious answers. You got it? Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What is the answer? Nobody. Nobody. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, he will. He will. It's an obvious answer. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Look, if God has justified you, who can condemn you? Nobody. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And look, if Christ is making intercession for you at the right hand of God, who can condemn you? Nobody. Nobody. Now look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ? Now again, by the way, we really don't need the rest of this. Because what's the answer? What can separate you from the love of Christ? Come on, gang, wake up. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. God loves unconditionally. Now, he goes on to say, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Now, I want to stop here because most of you are probably believers here today. And there have been times in your life when the devil has come to you and said, look, if God loved you, this wouldn't happen in your life. Right? This morning the choir is singing, It Is Well With My Soul. And I've been thinking a lot over the last several days about H.G. Spafford. I did some more research last night. Found out that he was a very successful lawyer in Chicago. Had invested in all kinds of property in Chicago. Was a very wealthy man. Even before the fire in the Great Chicago Fire came, he had lost a son at the age of 2. He had 9 children. 9 children. 6 of those perished as children. So the Chicago fire comes along. It destroys all of his holdings. He went from being a very wealthy man to being a pretty poor man immediately. A couple of years later, they plan to go on vacation to Europe. He's doing some work as a lawyer. He sends his family ahead. You know the story. 4 daughters and his wife. The ship is sunk while at sea, and she sends that telegram back saying what? Saved alone. 4 more of his children have died. God must not have loved him. Come on, be honest. Believer, have there not been times where things have happened in your life and you said, wow, if God loved me, he wouldn't let that happen. Now, I'm camping here because we need to get it straight in our lives that God's love is unconditional. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Now, God allows things into our lives. Why? Because he hates us? No, because he does love us and he wants to make us better. Every parent in this room have had children whom you loved. And because you love them, sometimes you let them do things you knew, boy, this is going to be a teaching moment for them, you know. Other times you stop them and you discipline them because you wanted them to live right and to do right. Look, God loves you so much. He's not going to let you go, believer, and just do whatever you want to do. In fact, there are times that it's not a matter of sin, but God just says, you know what, I want to change you and make you like Christ, and I love you so much that I'm going to put you through this trial to change you, to sand the rough edges off, to clean you up, to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you need to nail it down in your heart and your life that God's love is unconditional. Now, I haven't even gone to the last couple of verses. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying, look, folks, you need to nail this down, that God loves you unconditionally. No matter what occurs in your life, God still loves you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Okay? Now, Steve already mentioned early on the second thing, and that is that God's love is eternal. Now, that kind of stands to reason. If God is unchanging and he is love, then his love must be eternal, because otherwise he would be changing. Okay? But it also says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with what? An everlasting love. Okay? Now, let me get to my last point. We've seen decreed, defined, described. Finally, God's love displayed. God's love displayed. And now, turn to back to 1 John. And I want to pause for just a moment, because most people in the world have a wrong view or a wrong overemphasis on the love of God. Does God love you? Undoubtedly, yes. I've just spent 15 minutes telling you that. Okay, I'm not going to go backwards on that now. But here's the statement you may hear. You tell someone, look, because you have sinned and broken God's law, you cannot go to heaven or go to hell. And they will say what? Wait a minute. If God is love, how can a loving God do what? Send me to hell. Well, there's several faults with that statement. But the big problem is they are totally emphasizing the love of God and have totally forgotten about the fact that there is a holy God. God is separate from sin. He is. He always will be. He cannot allow sin into heaven. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, I'm a good person, that's great. We're glad to have good people. But good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people go to heaven. And you say, well, if God loved me, he would let me into heaven. No, here's what happened, folks. God loved you so much, he made a way for you to go to heaven. I didn't have you turn to 1 John 1:5, but in that passage it says God, we said God is love. In that passage it says God is what? You may know, 1 John 1:5. You say, if I look it up, I can tell you. God is light. Ah, God is holy, totally separate from sin. So we have a God who is perfectly holy. Now, you're back in 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. Here's the display of God's love. In this was manifested, this is verse 9, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh my, what a verse. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to be a propitiation. That's a nice big word. It just means to pour out your wrath. Aren't you glad, Christians and folks who are not Christians, that God loved you so much, he made a way for you to go to heaven? And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the wrath of God that I deserved was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loved us. And God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you were to come to me, if Todd Harless came to me, and Todd has been a great help at times and when I have vehicle issues, and other times he's been no help at all. No, I'm just kidding. And he's always been very, very helpful. And I remember one Sunday, I think we had a flat tire here on Sunday, and he took it over and fixed it for me. And boys, if Todd came to me and said, Gary, you know what? Man, I know it's going to be a sacrifice for you, but I need you to do. Would I be inclined to help him? Sure. Yeah, because he's a friend. He's been very helpful to me. What if, on the other hand, Todd burned my house down, took my car out, ran into a bridge, killed my dog, and then Todd came and said, hey, Gary, I really need a favor. Now listen, if I did it the first time, it's because he's been good to me. If I do it the second time, now that's love. Now look, when you came to God, it wasn't you being so good. In fact, the Bible says we were at enmity. We were the enemies of God. We were in sin. We deserved to go to hell. We had stomped on him. We had rejected him. We had lived wicked lives. And we came to him and he said, you're forgiven. Now that's love. That's love. God loves us not because of what we are, but in spite of what we are. Is it any wonder the songwriter said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And the chorus, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song, the love of God. So, God's love displayed to us by his giving of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look in 1 John 4:19. And what is our responsibility in all of this, okay? Number one, it says in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So man say, I love God and hateth his brother. He's a liar. For he that loveth his brother, not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from him. This is he who loveth God, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So I see two things and we'll be done very quickly. Number one, we have a responsibility to love God. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but in your heart, I wonder how many of you today know you're a child of God. You've received Christ as your Savior. All right? If you're saying yes, then God is saying, all right, you need to love me. You need to love me. You say, oh, I love God. I'll be honest. If we start right here with Tom Cole. And I said, Tom, stand up and tell us if you love God. I can guarantee you what he's going to say. Yes, I love God. And if we went to Mark, he'd say, yes. If we went to Christy, well, I'm not sure. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody, every believer in this room would say, oh, I love God. But let me ask you a question. Do you really love God? It's easy to say, oh, how I love Jesus. But how does the Bible say you really know if you love God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, I love God, and I'll be there Sunday night if there's not a football game on. Football season started, just thought I'd throw that in. I tell you what, in the world of DVRs, I have no idea why anybody watches anything live anymore. I can watch a football game in an hour. It's great. Why sit there for 2.5 hours? I mean, what a waste of time. Is that a Florida shirt? We need to talk about this a little bit. Look, folks, it's easy to say I love God. But your life shows if you love God. My wife said this morning, I can say, you say, oh, do you love your wife? Now, what am I going to say? No. Oh, yes, I love my wife. Hey, do I sacrifice what I want to do to meet her needs? It's easy to say. It is proved by the life. You say, oh, I love God. But this is the first time, well, the week just started, so that's not a good illustration. But you haven't looked at his book all week? If you love that phone, Priscilla, you better turn it off, sister. She's scrambling madly in her purse. That's great. That's great stuff. Good. It's probably one of your grandchildren going. We should love God, but hey, that's not where it stops. Did you see what we already also saw? You can look back in verse 20 or even verse 21. That he who loveth God does what? Love his brother also. You say, well, Gary, and by the way, in Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse. So they curse you and you say, well, Lord bless you, brother. Do good to them that hate you, when you burn my house down, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you say, wait a minute, Gary, wait a minute. If you knew what they did to me, I would love my wife, but you don't know what she did to me. I would love that guy on the other side of the church who sits over there and I sit over here, but if you knew what he did to me, you'd understand why I don't. What if God's love was like that? Oh, my soul. You see, God is commanding us to love like he loves. Now, is it right? If it's impossible, you say, but Gary, it's impossible. I just can't. There's just no way I can. Well, so God is telling you to do something that's impossible to do. Right? Now let me help you and we'll be done. Because in 1 John 4:20 it says, if man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And then in verse 13, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And there's the key, isn't it? Because the Word of God says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So what is the Holy Ghost doing in your life? He is shedding abroad the love of God in your heart. And also Galatians 5:21 or 22. The fruit of the Spirit is, number one. Come on, gang. The fruit of the Spirit is? That was better. The fruit of the Spirit is? Thank you. Karen, it's great to have you. Now, your husband, I don't know about that, Karen. Love. Look. It is never right for a Christian to hate. We're to love, even our enemies. Now, you want to hate sin and all those things, I understand that. But if you have hatred in your heart to another person, you're not right with God. And we may go around all day saying, but they did this, but they did that. And I want to remind you that God said you're supposed to love and forgive like God forgave us. And anytime we get so pious and we think, well, I'm spiritual, I love God, but I'm not going to love that person because they're so what they've done to me. I want you to remember what you've done to God and how you've done it over and over and over again. And God says, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. There's no doubt that God loves us, and he has displayed that through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now he calls us to receive that. And you may be here today and not sure of heaven. Jesus, God loved you so much that he sent his Son so you could have eternal life. If you'll place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, you can know you're going to heaven someday. God become your heavenly Father. Jesus Christ become your spiritual brother. Holy Spirit of God will come to live inside of you. And he'll work to begin to change you and make you a loving person. If I went to somebody at Mike's work, it's a good illustration because Mike's a loving guy, and said, is Mike Hubbard a loving guy? They would say yes. I believe they would. I'm glad you're sitting right here and not somebody else. Right? No, if Mark was sitting there, that'd be a whole different story, you know. So, if people looked at your life, would they say, wow, they're a loving person? They're filled with the Spirit of God, and God is producing love for others in their life. Or would they say, boy, he is a bitter person. He is an angry person. He's an unloving person. Now, I know when you heard the beginning, the love of God, you thought, oh, how sweet. This is just going to take a lesson. We're going to feel so good because God loves us. And he does. But he calls us to love him supremely. And then to love others. Okay? The love of God. God is love. And he's done so much for us. And he said, look, I want you to love me. And then I want you to love others. Okay? Lord, we thank you for this chapter. We've just kind of skimmed through it. Oh, Lord, I wish that I could do a better job describing the love of God. Oh, that we could understand how great, how infinite, how majestic your love is for us. Oh, God, drive it home to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to truly love you by obeying you. And God, help us to love others, we pray. Now, God, just take your truth right now. Drive it home to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Great to have all of you with us.